you that have gone through all of the teaching, some of this will make more sense, but it's all on tape. It's all spiritual roots, and I really encourage you to listen to this because it is amazing how our bodies work and how sin as a presence in your body can make you sick. And sin is a presence in our body. And demons are real. And whether you believe it or not, they're still real. And when you're out there and you don't know the truth, then you just don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're fighting. It doesn't make them any less real because you don't know about it. So before we get started, let's go to Ephesians 6:12. Oh, when I did this before, I talked really fast, kind of like what I'm doing now, but I am going to slow down so y'all can take notes and keep up. So we're going to go to Ephesians 6:12. It's a little different being up here than being back there with you all. Okay, is everybody there? We're going to read this together. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So you're not wrestling your disease. I'm a nurse. I'm a psychiatric nurse by trade, and I worked in the hospitals for years. And when I came down to Florida, I decided I wanted more regular hours, and so I started working for an insurance company. So I work for an insurance company that deals with mental health benefits or mental health and substance abuse benefits. And what we do is we manage care, and we help these people manage their illness. And that's what we do, because you cannot medicate a demon. And so these people, some of these people are very sick. And it's very frustrating to know what I know and not be able to say, let's just pray right now. Let's go to Hosea. What is that, 4:6? Oh, then we can just say it out loud. And it is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You don't know it. You're still, the fact that you don't know it doesn't mean it's not going to get you. So I would like to go to, well, I'd like to, you know that sin is a presence, and that sin is also, it brings a curse, and the wages of sin are death, and that all diseases are a curse. And I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I don't exactly think I can find it up here. Help me. Which one? Oh, here it is. Okay. Okay, chapter 10, verses, verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Your thoughts, the arrows that are shot at you and that you accept, are the beginning of what will make you, or can begin to create diseases in your body. So, whether you know about it, whether it's a self-imposed something that you've allowed in, or whether it's a generational, if it's there, it has a right to stay until you repent, renounce, and receive the love of God. He has a right to stay there, and he is going to mess with you. Your body is an amazing, amazing thing. God created everything, and he created this in perfection. But God is a spirit, and you know that God created the devil, and the devil is a spirit. The devil knows how your body works. He knows how your body works better than you know how your body works. And he's going to use your body to turn against you to make you sick. Now, before I go into some of the things that, some of the ways that your body works, I'd like to give you an overview of some of your body systems in regards to the diseases that are common to everybody and some of those spiritual roots and what that is. Your cardiovascular system, the heart, is imperative. All of your body organs are important, but some of them you simply cannot live without. You have two kidneys. You can live with one kidney. You cannot live without your heart. A common illness with the heart is angina. Angina is like a pain in your heart. It's a spasm. It has severe, it's severe pain, and if you feel like you're suffocating, and it brings a lot of apprehension and anxiety. High blood pressure. High blood pressure, your veins are, they open and close depending on what's going on in your body, but if you have high blood pressure, your veins are very small, like this, and your heart is pounding really hard to get that blood through all of your veins to go to the different parts of your body. Arrhythmia. An arrhythmia is like a heartbeat that is out of whack. If you put your hand over your heart, it has a thump, thump. It's going to do that, and it's going to do it a certain time. But if you have an arrhythmia, it's going to go thump, 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 thump. It's going to be all over the place, and it's hard for your body to do that. These are all brought on by the spirit of fear. It can be brought on by anxiety, and it can be brought on by stress. Now, let me just, angina is A-N-G-I-N-A. And arrhythmia, it's kind of an ugly word, but I'll spell it for you. A-R-R-H-Y-T-H-M-I-A. I'd like to go to, the heart is so important, and so I'd like to go to another scripture, Luke 21, chapter 21. No, Luke chapter 21, verse 26. Well, actually, let's start with verse 25. Sorry. Is everybody there?
No.
Okay. Luke chapter 21, verse 25 through 26. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Men's heart failing them from fear. The devil is roaring around trying to devour those he can, and he is going to kill you one way or another, any way he can. And we know in this ministry that his weapon is deception and his power is fear. And fear can come in so many different kinds of, it can come take your heart and just really work on your heart, because you cannot live without your heart. And the end of that is, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. This is talking about the last times and what's going to be happening. And there is more heart problems. Even though we are medically far more advanced than most countries, we have more health problems in this country than many, many other countries, even some of the poorer nations. I'd also like to go to 1 John chapter 4. Am I going too fast?
No.
Praise God.
Perfect.
Okay, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You can't have faith and fear about the same subject at the same time. It is impossible. You either believe that God's going to do what he's going to do, or you're afraid. Faith is believing in something that you cannot see. Fear is believing in something you cannot see, but you believe it to be true, whether it's true or not. Just like what if you don't know demons are out there, it doesn't mean that they're not. I may believe something, and I may be afraid of it, and you could say, well, that just doesn't make any sense at all. If I believe it, it's still part of my belief system. You can't have both at the same time. They're in direct conflict. Let's go to Hebrews 11, chapter 11. please.
What was the one scripture you just did before that? John 4, 18.
Verse 18. Hebrews 11. This just validates what we just said. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You have to believe. God isn't going to tell you everything all at once. He's going to tell you little bits of things at a time. You have to believe in him. Otherwise, why would you have faith? You have to believe that he's going to do what he says he's going to do in his word. And the next one that I'd like to go to is 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. God doesn't want you to be afraid. Okay, the last one we're going to go to, I think I'm saying this right, Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Along with fear comes anxiety. And those people that have angina can tell you all about anxiety because their chest is hurting. Is their heart going to pound? They can't catch their breath. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He wants to guard your heart, and he wants to guide your mind. Guard your mind. Some other cardio problems, and your cardio isn't just your heart, it's your veins, because they all work together, would be an aneurysm. An aneurysm is a weakness in the arterial wall. It could also be in a vein, but an arterial wall is specific because that's where the blood that has been oxygenated by your lungs is going to take the nutrients to the rest of your body to keep it working. And so here's your vein or your artery. And what happens is a balloon starts over here. And when that balloon bursts, that can cause all kinds of problems. You can have an aneurysm. If you have an aneurysm in your brain, it's very unlikely that you're going to live. It's a very potentially fatal kind of situation. So an aneurysm, when that swelling bursts, is not a good thing. Aneurysms, varicose veins. Oftentimes you'll see varicose veins, they show on the outside of the skin, they're knotted, they're all blue, and it's a swelling of the blood vessel walls. They're just swelling up. So the blood is still pumping through them, but they're not functioning the way they were created to function. Hemorrhoids. People who have hemorrhoids, they're varicose veins, and they're very painful. And thrombophlebitis. There we go. Thrombophlebitis. I'll spell it for you. It's a vein inflammation. And that's when your veins are close to the skin and they're inflamed and they hurt. These illnesses, these last four that I just talked about, are brought on by anger, rage, and resentment. The spirits of anger, rage, and resentment. An aneurysm is aneurysm. Varicose veins, I'll spell varicose, varicose. Hemorrhoids, hemorrhoids. And how about just vein inflammation? Okay. Now, the central nervous system. Overeating or any kind of compulsive kind of thing is brought on by fear of rejection, fear of man, fear of failure, fear of abandonment, low self-esteem, depression. Depression Oh, okay. Overeating, fear of rejection, fear of man. It's brought on by fear, low self-esteem. Depression, which is a chemical imbalance in your brain, is brought on by an over or underproduction of a chemical in your brain, but again, it's brought on by low self-esteem or fear. And insomnia is brought on by fear. Because the devil's working to keep your little mind going all night long, and you know, you're laying there and you're thinking about things, or you're afraid of something, or you hear something. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. That's God's promise. So insomnia is definitely not from God. I wanted to tell you, I wanted to tell you a little bit about my parents so that you can understand when we get back to this. My grandfathers were raging alcoholics, and my parents, on a regular basis, saw their mothers beaten. But both of them, because this was a long time ago, stayed in the marriage. My mother came out of that childhood. Now she's very controlling. She's very insecure. Oh, I have to back up. My mother was born out of wedlock, and my grandmother used my mother as kind of a pawn to get my grandfather to marry her. So my mother had all of this stuff going on. My grandparents were so busy in their own life that my mother took it upon herself to raise her sister. And seeing all of her neighbors going to church, decided that that's what they needed to do. So she took her sister to church, but they went to the Church of Christian Science because she didn't know any better. My grandmother was always angry with my grandfather. There were lots of words, and there was a lot of stuff said to my mother. So there were things, she had messages that she wasn't wanted as a child because she was born out of wedlock. Then she got all this stuff from my grandparents. She grew up to be very insecure, and she now has osteoporosis. We'll talk about that in just a minute. She has glaucoma. Whenever she gets sick, and sometimes you hear this, whenever I get sick, whenever I get a cold, I always end up with whatever. Whenever my mom gets a cold, she always ends up with strep throat. Always. What's the other thing? She recently had a stroke and now has a pacemaker. My father came out of that marriage my father came out of that marriage and he smoked 3 packs of cigarettes. He tried everything to stop. Of course, he went to hypnosis. He did all of the things that were popular in the day that he was trying to quit smoking, and he could not until he was diagnosed with lung cancer. He also was accident prone. But the thing that was most unique in my mind about my father was that my dad never got mad. In my growing up with my father, I saw him angry 3 times. Well, there was a real good reason for that. My grandfather, on my father's side, had a horrible, horrible temper. And when my father would get angry, there was a physical transformation that actually took place. He would puff up real big like this, and his head would kind of come down, and his neck seemed to disappear. His face would actually change. His nostrils would flare, and his eyes, I mean, the man was scary. And he would tell you later that he didn't remember it because all he could see was red. He wouldn't whip us when he was angry because he wasn't afraid of hurting us. He was afraid of killing us. Now I understand that what I saw in my father that was so frightening was demonic. That was a demon that was manifesting itself in my father. And I'm telling you this because we're going to come back to this stuff when we move on to some other things. When I was talking about the immune system. Your immune system is really important in your body. I-M-M-U-N-E, the immune system. God has created your body so that you have white blood cells that are in there eating all the bad cells, the bad bacteria. You'll have cancer cells off and on throughout your life. That's normal. But if your body's functioning the way it's supposed to, those white blood cells will eat them up, as well as viruses. However, there are a lot of immune diseases or autoimmune diseases when the white corpuscles or those white blood cells turn around and attack the body instead of doing what they're supposed to do. These diseases are brought on by the unloving spirit, by extreme self-rejection, self-hatred, and self-bitterness. The unloving spirit or the Antichrist spirit. And it's when the body agrees with these thoughts, so you're hearing things or you're thinking things and you start to agree with it, I'm no good, I can't stand myself, and then it starts to manifest in a physical form, and some of those physical forms would be lupus, Crohn's disease, MS, which is multiple sclerosis, or rheumatoid arthritis. All of these are lifelong diseases. And what happens is with these kinds of diseases is they get a foothold and they take a little bit of your life and they just keep growing and taking on more and more. Gastrointestinal diseases or diseases that affect your digestive system are ulcers. And an ulcer is brought on by a dendrite flaring up. And what a dendrite is, this part of my hand, this is like a nerve. Your mind or your body, your mind will send a signal to your body to do something. And a dendrite are these five things, my five fingers hanging off of the end of the nerve. It's D-E-N-D-R-I-T-E, that's a dendrite. And it'll tell your muscle to move, or it'll tell your intestine to move that food along in your intestine because it's going to continue to digest it before you eliminate it. So there has to be a flaring. And so there'll be a chemical reaction that takes place off of the end of this dendrite to another dendrite to make that muscle move. What happens in ulcers is your body, your mind, is sending a signal, and these little dendrites, they just can't stop moving. And they're moving and they're moving and they're moving until they cause an inflammation, an irritation and inflammation, and finally you start to bleed. Now, to make that more real, you have an itch on your arm, and you go to scratch it. You scratch it, and then it stops itching. But say you don't stop, and you keep scratching, and you keep scratching in the same place. Eventually, it's going to turn red. It's going to kind of get irritated, and eventually, it's going to start bleeding. That's what's going on with ulcers inside of your stomach. And then you have all kinds of problems with that. The same thing with irritable bowel syndrome. You've heard people talk about irritable bowel. The dendrite is going off until it can't stop. Diarrhea and constipation is just an irritation of the liver. It's brought on by nervousness, such as vomiting and nausea. Ulcerative colitis is the same thing that we talked about with ulcers, where it's just going, those dendrites are just flaring up until there's bleeding. And malabsorption is a leaky gut, where you're not getting the nutrients that you need to get. These things are brought on by fear, anxiety, and distress. And stress. I told you that my mom has glaucoma and she gets strep throat. Ear, nose, eyes, and throat problems are brought on by critical spirits, spirits of doubt and unbelief, self-pity, shame, occultism, pulmonary diseases. I don't know, I grew up with asthma, pulmonary, the medical community has talked about a lot of the mental health diagnoses such as depression, bipolar, those kinds of things, or asthma, one of the medical diagnoses, are directly related to fear. However, the medical community still treats the symptoms. They don't know how to cure the problem, they treat the symptoms. Asthma is fear of abandonment, and it's a fear of abandonment by the father, especially. If you've ever had asthma or seen somebody with an asthma attack, it's a real scary thing because everything tightens up and that child is gasping for air. Oftentimes, and this was amazing because I had asthma all through my childhood, they kept telling my parents when I was 18 I'd grow out of it. Well, how do you grow out of a disease? You know, it just didn't make any sense. But anyway, that's exactly what happened. I did grow out of it. But in what happened is, in my case, as the night air got cooler, I'd have a hard time breathing. And so my life was controlled by my disease. I'd have to go in the house. All the other kids would be outside playing, but I'd have to go in because I'd end up in an asthma attack, and then I'd end up with pneumonia. And it was the same thing. Musculoskeletal diseases, or diseases of the bone. Osteoporosis is a disease of the bone. And it's brought on by envy and jealousy. And it's there's a scripture that goes with that. It's rottenness of the bones. I can't. Can you? Okay. O-S. T-E-O. P-O-R. O-S-I-S. I can say it. Osteoporosis. The it is the scripture that goes with that is Proverbs 14:30, and it's rottenness of the bones. It's brought on by envy and jealousness, and other diseases for the bones would be unforgiveness towards others. My mom will tell you, she's been hurt many times, and she won't forgive. Unforgiveness is so powerful. Chronic pain. Sometimes people will go to the doctor, they have pain, back pain would be an example of this, and they can't diagnose it, they can't figure out what's going on, and they end up taking a lot of medications, and the medications don't take care of the pain, and then they get addicted to the medications. I mean, it is a mess, and we get a lot of that in the mental health, because then they decide, since they can't figure it out, it must be in their head. You know, they know that they have pain, but nobody can find out why, so it's got to be a mental thing, and so now they end up in the psychiatric unit, and it's brought on by spirits of occultism, witchcraft, unforgiveness, and trauma. Let's see. And infertility. Infertility is brought on by fear, rejection, and negative statements about yourself. And then some of the skin diseases would be like eczema, E-C-Z-E-M-A, acne, and shingles and hives. Eczema and acne are brought on by fear. Adolescents go through a lot of, oftentimes will have problems with acne. It is an increase of the histamine, which is a chemical in your body that increases the secretion of oils in your body that end up in your skin that produce acne, and it's fear of peer pressure. Well, it's actually peer pressure which brings on fear. Shingles and hives are brought on by self-rejection. Okay, so we talked a little bit about the systems. Now, you know the muscles or your bones are what give you your structure, and your muscles are what move your body around. You have your cardio system, and that's what pumps the blood around your body, so that it can get what it needs. Your blood carries vital nutrients. One of the vital nutrients that your blood carries is oxygen that comes in through your lungs. You breathe in oxygen and you exhale carbon dioxide. And the receptor on your blood cell is the same for both. So if you're a smoker, you're taking in carbon dioxide, so you're taking in carbon dioxide and air, and it's taking the receptor, that CO2 is taking the receptor that should go to the oxygen, it's going to your body, it can't clean your muscles up because your byproduct or the waste product from your body is CO2, so it stays there in your muscles and it comes back out, and if you continue to smoke and you're taking another cigarette and there's no break, then you're building up carbon dioxide in your body, which can cause a lot of stress to your muscles, and it also is a pollutant in your body. The other thing that your blood cells will carry around is food. You get food by eating. And it, as you digest, your blood will pick up the nutrients and carry it to the necessary parts of your body so that your body can do what it's supposed to do. Now, how does the body figure out what it's supposed to do? Is it backwards? Okay. There's a master system in your body that tells you what you're supposed to do, and it's called the endocrine system, and that is spelled E-N-D-O-C-R-I-N-E. It's like the brain of the body. You will see something, and your brain will take that vision in, and it will tell the hypothalamus, which is like the brain of the endocrine system, which is right up here. It'll tell the hypothalamus will interpret what's going on. And send the message down. So, for every thought, there is a conscious or an unconscious reaction that creates a chemical, a hormonal, or a nerve signal. So every thought that you have will create some kind of chemical, hormonal, or nerve signal that your body will respond to. So the hypothalamus is going to tell the rest of your body how to act. And the pituitary, which is, where is the pituitary? The pituitary is right here. This is the growth hormone. It's going to tell your body how tall to be. And so it must. It's going to be involved in regulating the release of hormones. It also has to do with the adrenals and your gonads. The thyroid regulates your metabolism. The thyroid is in the throat. And thyroid problems, people that have thyroid problems oftentimes find themselves lethargic and fatigued, and they start to gain weight. These are thyroid problems. The pineal gland, which is at the back of the brain there, number 9, that has to do with how we relate to light and our reception of light, meaning sunlight and darkness. It also has to do with depression. So those people that are depressed, oftentimes their pineal gland is affected. People up north that don't get a lot of sun often will have problems with depression during the winter months. And one of the therapies is to go to a... go to Florida. But no, it's to go to one of those things called tanning bed, yes. Okay, the parathyroids. The parathyroids are very small. They're on either side of the thyroid there. And they regulate the calcium. They regulate bone growth. And they foster excitability of your nerves. And so somebody who sits down, and this used to be me in church, I would sit down, and I always wasn't paying very much attention because I was so busy looking around, and I'd end up by my mom. And that wasn't a good thing because mom wanted me to sit still. But I couldn't sit still because my leg was like this, and then I'd get it going in a pattern. I'd sit there, you know, and I was working so hard, but it was really difficult for me to sit still. Well, I had problems with my parathyroid, but sitting next to mom wasn't good because then I had to really work on it or I got pinched. The pancreas. The pancreas is really important, number 5, because this regulates the insulin in your body. When you eat too much sugar, you need more insulin to take care of, and if you don't eat sugar, then your pancreas will take care of that balance. This is so important with diabetes, and it helps your body utilize the carbohydrates that you take in. And carbohydrates just don't come from sugar. They can come from bread. They can come from all different sources. The carbohydrates are very important to your body, and the pancreas is vital. The thymus is important in the maturing of the white cells. These are the attackers of the disease in your immune system. And the adrenals, which are down here on top of your kidneys. The adrenals, they kind of control what's going on with the hypothalamus. So you've got the hypothalamus up here, and you've got all these organs in between. The adrenals make sure that the hormones that are supposed to be released are being released, and that they help the body in the fight or flight syndrome. And the fight or flight syndrome is one of the things. God built that in our body so that we could handle a situation that was dangerous. What happens in the fight or flight syndrome is that you see something, and the example that I used last time was a child, there's an accident, and the child is trapped under something very heavy. You see that, and the signal is, this is danger. God created your body so that you could respond to that appropriately. You've heard stories of mothers doing amazing things when their child is being trapped. They can lift a car, they can lift something very heavy off the top of their child to rescue that child. What happens in that is that your brain goes on alert, and so you're very alert. All your senses are on high gear, and your heart starts beating faster. you start breathing faster, your blood starts pumping, so everything's moving, and your muscles are ready so that you can lift that up to take care of it. Also, because you don't need all of your systems on high alert, your digestive system goes way down. It's not working the way it should because it doesn't need to at this point. You don't need to be digesting food. When you're living in a state of fear, or when you have a lot of fear about a lot of different things, your body is operating in this fight or flight syndrome a lot. The example that I used for myself was when I was 15, I fell off of a railroad track. I fell 15 feet onto the ground. It was pretty scary because I could have fallen in the street, but I landed on the sidewalk, praise God. But I smashed both of my feet. And I was laid up all summer. It was a big summer. I was supposed to take driver's ed. When I finally went back to school, and I was walking, which was amazing, we went on a school trip. And on the school trip, it was at a local theme park, and they had a replica of the Eiffel Tower. Well, I was very daring, and I was without fear when it came to heights. I would walk on the top of the bridges. Obviously, I was on top of the trestle where I shouldn't have been. Anyway, I went right up with my friends and I went right to the edge and I'm standing on the railing and I got there and the first thing that came to my mind was, oh, this is really high. And then I went, uh-oh, last time I was this high, I fell. And then I went, oh my gosh, I am in danger. And I was like shaking and I backed up. And the only time that, and my body was like in panic, in high gear, I was like just scared to death, went down on the ground, and I started to calm down. Now, I was not in danger, but I thought I was in danger, and I could not, because I accepted that thought, I now had fear of heights, and that fear of heights translated into many, many things, and it just kept limiting my ability to do things. So when you're living in a state of fear, the devil will then shoot a thought into you, and if you accept that thought, he can turn that around so that your body starts to do things that it's not supposed to do. Your body was not meant to function in that state all the time. You get tired and things start to break down. So your body likes to operate in a state of homeostasis. Some of the diseases of the endocrine system would be with the hypothalamus, who kind of controls things. Some of the spirits that would cause diseases in your body would be spirit of fear, lust of the eyes and of the flesh, spirits of apathy or overreacting, eating disorders, bulimia, anorexia, obesity, they're related to the hypothalamus. The pituitary gland would be spirits of control, dominance, and rebellion. And the thyroid would be spirits of anxiety, fear, self-rejection, self-hatred, and guilt. The thymus would be spirits of fear and stress. And the pancreas, you have spirits of self-hatred, addictions, self-rejection, the critical spirits, God bless you, doubt and unbelief, lack of trust, do I need to go over those? Pancreas, spirits of self-hatred, addictions, self-rejection, critical spirits, doubt and unbelief, lack of trust, perfectionism, and drivenness. Also generational fear and stress. The adrenals. Spirits of fear. Dread. Hate. Rage and hysteria. The gonads, or the sex organs, have spirits of rejection, especially by the mother or the father or the mate. It's also associated problems with the gonads would be spirits of uncleanliness and guilt, and certainly a lack of trust and gender confusion. Spirits of rejection for the gonads or the sex organs by the father, the mother, or the mate. I got to tell you, as a female, rejection by your mate can be a devastating thing. And since I'm talking to a room full of men, I just want you to keep that in mind. It can be really hurtful. And it can really cause deep hurt in the female. Spirits of uncleanliness and guilt, lack of trust, and gender confusion. Okay. So it's really important. The devil understands how your body works a lot better than you do. He knows how to take something that's supposed to work perfectly and turn it around so that your body starts to work against you. Fear can be a generational curse. It can come down the line. It doesn't have to start in your lifetime. And so things like allergies or asthma or alcoholism, those kinds of things that you hear, when you go into the doctor, they start taking your family history. Well, there's a reason for that. The medical community does it for one reason, but when we're looking at it, we're looking at it so that we can repent, renounce, and receive, because those things have come down the line, and we need to take responsibility for them. God's perfect will is not for us to be healed, but for us to be healthy. He wants us to be healthy, and we are teaching you the tools so that we can do that, and it is in here. I don't have anything else, so praise God. Do you have anything else? Oh, yeah.